हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 6. So the kings continued, "Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, "Then I should give you Sayuja Mukti." No, not at all. This they express in this verse. "Please show us the exact method so we can understand and execute it, by which we will not forget your lotus feet. Though we are wandering in various bodies, we do not ask that you stop that wandering, nor do we even have desire for prema bhakti, more worthy of hankering." This is said out of an appearance of extreme humility. "Nor do we desire even remembrance of you, which is an anga of bhakti. We only desire the means for remembrance, and we do not ask you give it to us, but rather that you indicate it, and clearly so we may practice." This shows the highest degree of qualities like desirelessness, humility, and sense control, which are necessary qualifications for bhakti. So they're not just saying, give bhakti, give us the process by which we can gain it. Does that make sense? Because the idea is that if we're performing this to please Krishna, that process by which we come to that platform, then that's pleasing to Krishna. So they're simply asking for that out of humility, not saying that we are qualified for this. We're saying, give us the process by which we may gain this. Right? So that's their approach that they're using.
Is it the only process?
Is it the means? Means their approach here? No, it's, well, I mean, that's what's happening, because the point is the Lord's going to give, but he gives by a reciprocation. So if we're following the process to gain bhakti, then he gives that. Right? So that's the whole thing. If you just give bhakti, then what are we going to do? Because it may, you know, it's like that fisherman. Lord Chaitanya, he caught him in the net, and when he touched him, then he developed prema, and he's running around, and he's like a madman, he doesn't know what's going on, and he thought he was possessed by a ghost, right? So, this is, give us the process by which we may gain it. And so then, in that way, then they feel themselves unqualified. So it's just a manifestation of humility. Because the whole process is to gain bhakti in that, and it's through those activities that would be pleasing to Krishna, right? But they're specifically focusing on those activities that we may do. So those have been explained by association with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the five main items. So then by performing those in a way to please Krishna, then that will gain one bhakti. Yeah? Yes?
They show the example, one shouldn't be greedy to go just climb on the top, immediately.
No, we're not greedy to climb on the top. It's not that doesn't have that greed to please Krishna in devotion. That we perform devotional activity, we want to do that more and more. But it's not about our own position or our own benefit. That's the whole approach, that they're approaching it so it doesn't look like they're the ones that will be benefiting.
Enjoying the big position.
Yes. So it's not that the devotee's not endeavoring to come to the platform of prema, but it's not because it's the best position. It's because it pleases Krishna. So in that case, then what you're looking at is that process by which Krishna is pleased. So please engage us in that process, rather than just looking at it as a goal. Because the point is the process, you know, is the goal. The goal is the process. They're non-different. So they're focusing on it more as a process than it is as a goal. Because otherwise we say, yes, I want to get this, you know, prema, develop love for Krishna, this. That's good. But the point is that's a goal. What about the process? Because the goal actually is. Bhakti is both. See, we're used to that. There's one thing you do and then you get something else. Like that. But here is that what you're getting is the same as the process. That's what's so perfect about it. There's no... One wants to do that eternally. It's so nice. So to be engaged in service, then that's the most important point. You know, it's just like Araktak was fanning Krishna. And then the ecstatic emotions were such that he couldn't see. He couldn't do his service, so he tried to stop those ecstatic emotions so he could continue his service. Because the taste of the service is actually more than the ecstasy that comes along with it. You understand? So we're used to looking at goals as you get that and then you're done. But the point is this goal is you're always engaged in the process. So they're just bringing out another subtle aspect that we are careful that in trying to attain this goal that we don't also maintain some elements of pride or position or, you know, a personal gain like that. Even though it's spiritual, because we have to remember is that the aspects of liberation are spiritual. And those who are on the platform of Prema Bhakti are having those. Right? But the point is having those, it's not getting that. That's an opportunity to render the service. Does that make sense? So it's not actually a goal. So when we say liberation is never a goal, it never is. Even for Vaishnava liberation, it's still not a goal. It's a step for going there. So it's just that it'll be taken as a major step, especially for those from Vaikuntha. You know, because if you're in those positions, then you can do some nice service. So it's a desired position to be in. But it's about the service. But they'll put more emphasis on that aspect. Well, we won't. We'll just put it on just having that loving devotion. And that, you know, because it's because of the position. It's about the sweetness, not about the opulence. But here we see them, they have that highest degree of desireless humility and sense control. They're just saying, just bless us that we may understand the process. Like that. The means for remembrance. Right? And not even that you give it, you indicate it, and then by following it, then we may please you. You know? So it's not that saying, yeah, we can do this, we don't need you to give it to it. And it's not that. It's a matter of, we don't want to take anything from you. So even if you'll just indicate the process, then we'll practice that, and by that, then we can attain that. Yeah. So it's just such extreme humility.
Yeah. I'm thinking in the context of pseudo-Vaishnavas who are...
Of?
Pseudo-Vaishnavas.
Okay.
Who are actually seeing that the goal is separate from the process and they're hankering for the goal.
So yes. They're also thinking they're situated on that goal.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that they're great devotees and... They're taking part in the pastime, and, you know, stuff like that. And so then the problem is that it's not going to work because those personalities aren't going to stick around when somebody so proud shows up in the pastime. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Maybe you can remember Krishna, but there'll be no one else there because they're going to leave. You know, Krishna's always surrounded with his devotees, so therefore, because they're there, then why would Krishna be there? Therefore, you can't remember. So you're thinking, I'm remembering it so nice, you know, and then, you know, when you use the meditation, and then once the meditation is there, then they go to do things, and then it disappears. Why does it disappear? Because the devotees aren't going to stick around for someone that has this kind of pride in that to do service, so they're going, and if they go, Krishna's going, and so then it all disappears. You understand? So it's not that we're in control because I thought of it, then Krishna has to be there and has to accept my service. That's karma. That's how karma mimamsa works. I did the work, therefore Krishna has to reciprocate. No, he doesn't. He only reciprocates the bhakti just because you remembered, you know, the pastime according to what the Shastra says, then that's a karma. Right? And doing that karma, then you're demanding that now Krishna has to reciprocate. No, that's not going to work like that. It's because you please Krishna in devotion, then that remembrance of Krishna will situate you on the transcendental platform. Does that make sense? So we're talking, we're seeing these subtle points here. It's about just pleasing Krishna. So we know that, we've heard that. But now we're starting to see these finer points. But the point is because we've accepted that that's what it is, then these finer points will mean something to us. Right? So that's why the principle is given right at the beginning. Then you start to get details. Right? So that's why we see is, like if we say, okay, what distinguishes Braja Bhakti from all other, you know, bhakti in the spiritual realm? Pure unalloyed devotion. Now, we don't know what that means. We understand some symptoms, but we understand that that's the goal. So therefore, then we keep that as that. And we then slowly Krishna reveals what that means. But you understand it's what it is the generic aspect of that full surrender. That's what's there. Then details will come later. So it always starts from the general mood that's there, and then it will become specific. You know what I'm saying? If you're starting off specific, then that's not the process, because you skipped the process. How that's going to work? Right? Yes.
Then sometimes devotees make mistake. They stay on the generic level, and they don't worry about specific. And then what happens is that Mahaprabhu gives the goal, but he gives the process as well. But then we don't follow that process. Still, we think that we're going to get the goal that he's talking about. But that's not going to happen.
It'll just be slower. It means you're not going to get it. Means it's not that you won't eventually get it. It just means if you're not following the process, how will it generate the result?
Yeah, it will generate different result, most probably.
Yeah, or you just won't get. It'll just be slow. Because otherwise, if you're not following the process, you have to be doing something.
Yeah.
And so whatever you're doing, then you'll get results from that. But anything other than, you know, pure devotional service is not an end goal. So whatever you're doing and going off in whatever direction, it still is not going to. So the point is we can't, it's a natural thing. You can't force the issue. By absorbing oneself in, hearing about the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, then one gets attracted. But it's not that you can take one thing and then try to make yourself attracted. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why the process is all about hearing and chanting, you know, in the association of devotees. Because by that, that's the process. And then by that, that will then purify the heart and awaken that attraction to Krishna. Because attraction is first, then there's attachment.
Yeah.
Right? So that means if we have that right mood, you know, the prajumna aspect of that service to Krishna and all that, and wanting to please Krishna in pure devotion, and appreciating the service rendered in that fashion, you know, of pure devotion by the devotees of the Lord, and specifically the Brajvasis, then one naturally starts to move in that direction, because it's Krishna revealing. It's not that we do that, we'll get it. We always have to remember it's not a process of karma. It is that we're following the process to please Krishna. That's what gives. Not that I'm following this, I'm reading this, I'm doing this, I'm remembering this. That's why I'll get. Does that make sense? So you can't, it's not that you can't be not dynamic in that you're trying to appreciate. You can't avoid that. But it's not that because you're following a process, that it's because you're following it, that's what's giving the result. It's that Krishna is pleased, that's why you get the result. Yeah, so it's a balance between those two. So in other words, if someone's a little too rah-rah on it, that's not going to work. And if they're, you know, though we don't have to worry about it, that's also going to be slow. Right? So both of them are going to be a problem.
Because it sounds like from here and from the Gita that Vaidhisadhana always exists. It's a standard kind of thing.
It always exists.
And it actually pleases Krishna.
Yes.
It's not that it doesn't please Krishna.
Yes.
But then Mahaprabhu comes and he gives the goal, but with the goal he gives the process.
Yes.
Which is very special.
Yes. But what's special is the mood. Because that's what, like, what's the difference between what goes on in Vrindavan and in Dwarka or in Vaikuntha? It's the mood.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the worship of the Lord is the same. Right? It means you may have more opulences or less than that, but the uniqueness is the mood.
Yeah.
So the spontaneous devotional service is that mood to want to please Krishna, and you're doing it to please Krishna. That's the spontaneity. It's not actually a vaidhi itself. You're using vaidhi bhakti because it's the standard. It is the form that's used. But if you use it in applying it, if you have that spontaneous mood, that makes the whole thing go so much quicker. Because if you don't develop it now, it'll come later. That Raghun, I think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that if one doesn't get it during the Madhyama period, then when one comes to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then at that time it'll manifest. So it's not that someone has to be manifesting Raghunuga Bhakti as a Madhyama. If it doesn't, then it'll manifest as an Uttama. Because that's what Gokul's about, is developing that spontaneous mood. So if you've already... The point is, if you've already developed some of that here, it'll just be a little quicker there. But if you haven't, then, you know, it will develop there. So it's not that one has to worry about it. It's just that one has to surrender and depend upon Krishna and the devotees. That's the process.
Yeah, because in the morning you also mentioned that, you know, sahajas, they confuse, they think their sadhak group and seed group is one, it's the same thing. But actually,
yes.
Rupa Goswami, he distinguishes.
Yes.
He says two different things.
Yes.
But some people merge it into one, and some people say, okay, we have sadhak rupa, and we don't worry about siddha, meaning if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, then, you know.
Yes, but then that's just their position. So as long as they stick to following the sadhana, with the goal of pleasing Krishna in Braja Bhakti, you know, in Braja Prema, you can say, then they will get there because that's their goal and they're following the process. Process will give a result. It just may be a little slower than someone who understands what's going on, but it's not the knowledge of understanding that makes it go any quicker. You understand? That's the thing. Bhakti is independent from karma jnana. So it means the activity you're doing or the knowledge you have, that's not what not gives the bhakti. It's the mood of trying to please Krishna in devotion that gives bhakti. So that's the thing, is that these things are useful. These are elements that are used in the process, but it's not that they create it. That's the whole thing. It's just like you go in the kitchen and cook. It's not that you create the prasad. Right? So it doesn't matter I have the knowledge, I have the techniques, I did something so fabulous, and therefore it's going to be prasad. No, it's that if you've done it in a way that Krishna is pleased with your offering, then him accepting that offering, that becomes prasad. So that's the thing. But it's not that by having knowledge and the skill and applying that, and you're doing that to please Krishna, it's not that that's not going to enhance the process. But it itself is not the process. That's the point. Bhakti is independent. So that finity, that's the point where we're getting here. So you see, is that their mood of humility. So it's not what they're saying, oh, we don't want this, we don't. It's the humility that's there that's attractive. And so because of the humility, it manifests this kind of anubhava. Mm-hmm. But it's not that this is specific technique that, oh, we should talk. No, I don't want frame. I don't want this and that. You know, it's not. No, it's not that. It's that they want, but they're saying that they don't want. He's done so much for them. He's the supreme. We should be serving you. So if you just indicate what we can kind of do, because why he has to indicate? Because who else knows? Right? So you know what pleases you. So if you indicate, not even just tell or say do this or yeah, you can do this or give blessing, you just indicate and then we'll take that out and we'll try to do that to please you. So it's just like he said, the highest degree of qualities like desireless humility and sense control, which are necessary qualifications for bhakti. So that's the part to take, is the desireless, the humility and the sense control, not the technique they used. So that's what comes, is that one takes the technique, because I'm doing the technique, therefore I either am a Raghunuga Bhakta or am going to develop it. And the other is, no, we don't worry about those things, so we don't have to, you know, even consider. I just do what I'm doing. So both are situated, as long as they're following what's supposed to be done, they're both situated in devotional service. But the problem is it's a little bit too much on the secondary. So it has a subtle element of niyamagraha. You know, is that they don't know actually what they're dealing with. So one thinks it's the external form, and the other thinks, no, you don't need that. Right? So those who reject and all this, you know, you mentioned Raghunuga Bhakti and everyone goes, like this, that's it. But if others are saying, you know, yeah, we're here and we're doing this and that, unless you read this and that, then it's not. Both of those have a problem. Like that, because it's not that, it's the devotion in which it's performed. Right? Because you don't have to have so much knowledge, it's the devotion in which it's done. So according to an individual, they have less knowledge, but if they're absorbed, like Radharani, right? The first time she heard about Krishna, right? She just developed that love for him. It's not that there was a lot of information. Right? And then someone else is describing again, and she falls in love with that description. And a third person describes, she falls in love there. And then she thinks she's fallen in love with three boys, which is not good. But one was describing Govinda, one Gopinath, and one Madan Mohan. So she didn't even know they were the same person. So what I'm saying is that it's not the volume of knowledge that you have. It's that attraction to Krishna. So it's not a technique. So if one performs the service, associates, we're getting the chance to associate in Bhagavatam with those that are on the platform of spontaneous devotional service. At least pure devotional service. Right? And so then from that association, that was naturally going to bring us forward if we find that we're inspired by this. We want to follow in the footsteps. So then we do what's recommended. So we hear all this, and then we, you know, get up, Mangalarti, chant your rounds. You know, that's what's going to be. Because, as you said in the beginning of the statement, there's technically, in form, there's only one process, Vaidhi Bhakti. Now it's just a matter of you understand what's happening in the system or not so much. You know it's about Krishna, you know it's pleasing Krishna. But whether that spontaneous aspect is there, but the form of it is the same whether you're a neophyte, madhyama, or uttama. It doesn't change. Like that. That's to be known. So there's not a second form of spontaneous devotional service. You're taking that form and using that move. Is that? Yeah. The kings concluded their prayers. Again and again we offer our obeisances unto Lord Krishna, Hari, the son of Vasudeva, the supreme soul, Govinda. That supreme soul, Govinda, vanquishes the suffering of all who surrender to him. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Thinking themselves unqualified to pray to the Lord, they concluded by chanting his dear name sweetly in order to attain their goal. Right? So they don't feel I can even offer prayers, so they just chant the holy name because that's the recommended process. They offered respects with eight limbs on the ground. We offer respects to you, Swayam Bhagavan, who appeared to Vasudeva to show mercy to all people, and then destroy the suffering of even the demons. Not looking for their qualifications, and showed yourself as attractive to all. Right, so he doesn't make the distinction. He shows himself in his attractive form to all. But the point is then having shown that, how people reciprocate is how he'll reciprocate with them. Does that make sense? That's the whole point, is that he looks the same, technically.
But different people will see him and view him in different ways. So according to how they see Krishna, that's how Krishna reciprocates with them. Right? Like that.
But can we say that in our position, as this society, we take the same ground that we see according to what Srila Prabhupada, this founder, Charlie, gave us?
Yes, yes. No, that's it.
Who knows how we see him now? You know, according to our conditioning, what we imagine, you know, some people don't understand the opulence of Vrindavan, they think they are from, they would like go to Vaikuntha somewhere to go.
No, but we, no. I mean, so you're saying we have to follow
so
what
I'm
Prabhupada
saying that
says.
Our safe ground is just see it as our chariot presents it.
Yes, yes.
To assume that's the way we should see it anyway, and we will eventually.
Yes, yes. Because it, in Rupa Goswami, I think it's the fifth of the 64 items of the devotional service in the sixth chapter of Nectar Devotion. It means Vaidhi Bhakti, what we're talking about. There's 64 items of Vaidhi Sadhana. So, in the fifth one, then he makes the point of you have to follow the previous acharyas by following your acharya. So that means we're following the previous acharyas. That's not that we're not doing that. But we're doing it through what Prabhupada says. So we take what Prabhupada says, and in that light, in that mood, then we view, like here, what Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Sanatana Goswami says. If we take it, well, Jiva's saying this, and Vishwanath's saying that, Sanatana's that, and Prabhupada this, and it's all different, then don't read that. Don't read. Point is when you see whatever's being stated in line with what Prabhupada says, then you're actually seeing.
And if we speak about the mood, I was talking
yes.
about, then whatever mood Srila Prabhupada presented, in general and in specific in his books, that's
yes, that's ours. Yes, that's what we would do. Because that's where we want to be. Because you have to have an identity in the whole process. So you have to be connected with somebody. And it's who they are connected with, that's the line you're going to be in. So that's the main problem in, okay, Prabhupada's saying this, that we're seeing all these acharyas. Because many will read the acharyas and then they like this or that or so. No, you have to deal with your own acharya. Right? So how someone explains it and this and that, that's all very inspiring, but you still have to be able to see it through your acharya. Right? You know, that's just the process. Just like Six Sugar, you see what they're saying, you appreciate that through the instructions that the Guru has given. Right? The Guru may be giving a general point is, you know, you should try to be Krishna conscious, always remember Krishna, keep yourself absorbed. And then someone may describe details of how you can do that. But you're seeing those details in line with the instruction of Guru that you should be Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? That's that. So that way that process, that line is always there. Otherwise then it's, you know, like this one, that one, and you know, then we're okay. We offer respects to you, Swayam Bhagavan, who appeared to Vasudeva to show mercy to all people, and then destroyed the suffering of even the demons. Because the demons are suffering because they're so absorbed in material life. And so then by he gives them liberation. So they're not qualified for liberation by the process defined in the path of Jnana Marg. Right? But because they're absorbed in the Lord, who is transcendental, because of that, then they attain the Lord. That's the point. If you're absorbed in the Lord, whether your material qualifications are very great or not, that doesn't matter. It's the absorption in the Lord. The process is given, so therefore, it's a very all-encompassing system for someone who can do something very simple to someone who can be much more elaborate. But the point is wherever you can fit and absorb yourself, then that's what works. And if he says, no, but I can't go as far, but then what does that mean? If you know there's a wide system and you can't do the whole thing, what quality does that generate? What means, according to the previous one about desireless humility and sense control, which are necessary qualifications for bhakti. So humility, right? Not, you know, I'm so useless, I'm so disgusting, that kind of, you know, lacking self-confidence and you know, all that kind of thing. That's not, because that's a mode of ignorance, because we're not that anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, it's like, what's it? Raghunath Das Goswami is offering, I think, 2,000 obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas, right? And he's taking half a cup of buttermilk every other day, right? Right? Yeah, he's fit, right? You know, I think it's before a football match, the American football, they eat a huge plate of pasta 2 hours before the match, so that's kind of digested and all that energy. And then they can go out there and do those things. And even then, sometimes they have to retire and someone comes and replaces them. He does 2,000 himself, right? How many people you know can do 2,000 push-ups a day? You know? Like that. And that's what they're down. That means from standing down and then back up. You know, down and... You know. Right? So... He's fine. So now if we can't do that, now do we feel, oh, I'm not qualified in devotional service, I can't be humble like Raghunath and Das Goswami and offer obeisances to the... No, but you do what you can do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, no, you don't have to get into that part. Point is you could also offer one obeisance and then go through, you know, like that. But the point is that... It's not the form, it's the sincerity. But that doesn't mean that in the name of sincerity we don't use the form, because that's not sincere. Right? In other words, we use how much of the form we can use in our position. Then that's what's going to please Krishna. Right? So it's like you see some devotees that, you know, a lifetime, you know, of activities and the Lord reveals himself. Then you had that, I don't remember who was involved, but there was that, you know, here in Navadvip, there was that Brahmin and his son, and the Brahmin, you know, was, you know, doing the puja and that, and he had to go out for something. And he showed the son how to do the offering. He says, you offer it to him, you know, and everything like that. And so then the son goes and puts it there, and then he comes back after the mantras and everything, and it's the same. It's not been touched. So he starts, you know, why you're not eating this, that? And he's so sincere that Krishna eats the whole thing. Like that. So, you know.
That's
Raghunandan
and Shrikanda.
Sorry?
That's Raghunandan
and Shrikanda. Gopiya. Okay. So, does that make sense? So, that's happening there, or Maharaj Katvanga. In a moment, he's fully surrenders, and then, you know. So it's a matter of how it works for you. But the point is that sincerity is there, then it works. Does that make sense? So we have the process, we know, we try to apply ourselves. Right? And the more we understand of it, then the more we, you know, have that humility. Because it's actually unlimited ocean. Like I mentioned, those that, you know, these top, you know, like how you say, Ravi Shankar level type of Indian musicians, that level. Then you ask, you mention to them about how good they know music and that, and they say, no, actually, I'm only standing on the beach of the ocean of music. He says, I know nothing. I'm just on the beach. And then they'll mention people who they say, now he knows music, or, you know, like that. Other great personalities before. Is that so? That's the thing. The more you know, the more you should become humble. The modern thing is, the more you know, the more you inflate your ego. But it should go the other way, because the more you know, the more you understand what you don't know. Does that make sense? The more technique you have, the more you understand there's more. So that's the whole thing. It's naturally you develop these desirelessness, humility, and sense control. But you have to be aware of these, or Krishna will reveal, but the point is they have, they, once we know, we take them, we use them. Right? So, yeah. You know, so we've heard these three. Sense control, it means if we have material desire, then how do you develop love for Krishna? Right? Desireless means if you have material desire, then how it's going to be for Krishna, right? And humility, if we think we're the controller and enjoyer, then how are we going to develop? So the same thing is just mentioned in this way and given in this very nice example. Right?
Am I right? Here, all these 20,000 kings are seeing the same thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because they must be in the same level of consciousness.
Yeah, like that. But they're also there associated with each other. There's nothing else to do. So they sit around talking about Krishna and stuff. Yeah. You can see here is now, one may say, okay, yeah, but it's such a severe, you know, I couldn't, you know, we have to be practical. But the point is now, let's say if we are unjustly imprisoned, is that going to bring about our remembrance of Krishna and this desireless humility and sense control? Or is it going to bring about the sense of justice and my rights and, you know, like that? That's the whole point, is that the situation they were in was wrong. Because it's not that they were just, you know, they sneezed when they shouldn't have, or, you know, did something, they laughed when they shouldn't have and ended up in jail or something like that. They didn't want to pay tax to Jarasandha because they felt he wasn't a proper ruler. They didn't support him as an emperor. And so he imprisoned them. Right? So that's the whole thing. So they're technically not wrong, even from the Kshatriya thing. So that makes it even more. You're not wrong, and you're like this. But they come out just simply, all they want is devotional service. They don't want their position back. They don't want anything. That's the whole thing that we have to learn. Yes?
Can we understood that they must have had like really exalted association?
But they said before is that they simply got absorbed in their Kshatriya duties and their position and power and influence and fighting with each other for domination and all that. So it does, they don't make the point so much that they had that strong, not that they didn't get it, but it wasn't a very prominent thing before being imprisoned.
This seems very unusual with kings, with this kind of speaking like this, very rare.
Yes, but the idea being that anybody can take up pure devotional service. So there's no position that you can't do it from. That's why we mentioned that point the other day, is that the Shastras, the examples that they show are generally more extreme than whatever situations we'd be in. Otherwise we would say, oh, that doesn't, my situation is different. You know? But otherwise it's here. This is such, you know. But even then, we bring it out. Like I mentioned this thing of forgiving, and then one lady brings up the point is, no, but what happens if someone killed my son and this and that? How can I forgive? You know, so they can't catch this. Pure devotional service is a real thing. You know, it's not about, you know, your son, your family, your money, or this or that. These things you use in your pursuance of Krishna consciousness. You're involved in them. But only as a medium. But if you take them as your position of righteousness and justice and all that, how will one develop? You know, and that was after explaining all this, and then at the end of class, that was the question. You know? Because it's a matter of, no, it's my right to be angry and not forgive people, and they're wrong, and I'm right. And yeah, and then you have that. The problem is you have to stay here to be, how you say, morally right. You know, going back to Godhead means you step out, you don't care anymore. They want to be right or wrong, it's up to them. They just step out. So that's the whole thing, is that without knowing, we make this as a major thing, and we think that this is really important in devotional service. You know, you get all these, remember a couple of years ago there was that whole thing about, you know, bring back the Jamuna, and, you know, Jamuna's not there. And that, what do you mean, Jamuna? Jamuna's always there. You know, you think that the capitalists in Faridabad can stop the Jamuna? It means the water that we think is the Jamuna, that they may stop, but the Jamuna's always there. Right? So if that's appreciated, then what do you go down to whatever little water is there, that's Jamuna. Right? But if it's like, no, this is that, it's just industrial waste and this and that, we're talking materialism here, like straight up front materialism. You know what I'm saying? Now, it's not that we don't want part of service to the Dham is beautifying the Dham, but then that's service. It's not, you know, a righteousness, and it's a crusade and like this. So you may, to bring in water and do all the things, may have to go around, talk to people, and do the whole political thing, because that's just how it works. But the discussion amongst the devotees can't be on this political platform. You know what I'm saying? So that's there, or not as much now, but I think it was back kind of in the 90s, there was a whole thing about the cows, you know, and then you had
I think it was about maybe 3 years ago, I saw this thing. They're putting up these big, huge kind of things, and you know, a burning god, you know, burning dead bodies, and talking about, you know, we have to take care of the old people and this and that. They're just crusades. It's connected with devotional service, but it's very neophyte. So we have to be able to catch that. There is the pure devotion, and then there's the medium used. But when we put the emphasis on the medium and say that that's the devotional service, that's where we're missing the point. That it is connected. Jamun is connected to Krishna. It is there. It is Dham Seva. So you're going to get benefit, definitely. But that you don't accept that the water that's already there now is not Jamuna. You say it's just industrial waste. This says, then, you know, how is that? How are you? Because the moon is there. This is Navadweep. How many rivers can you mention here?
Two.
Huh? Two. Ganga and Jalangi. Then some may remember Alakananda. Sometimes you can see that in the rain season. But there's nine rivers here. The other side of the Ganga. So there's all these rivers there. That's why you have nine islands. We can't see them, but they're going on. You know, Lord Chaitanya is doing, you know, there's the big temple. All these things are happening. Just, you know, we're not seeing. But they're already there. And then if we want to try to render some service and do something nice and that we can do, but it has to have that mood of humility, not political. Otherwise, we develop that political mood that will be cultivated, and then we'll use that in other forums also. Does that make sense? It's a very subtle thing. You know, because otherwise, that Yamuna was in the same state. All these things that we make into issues were already there. They've always been there. And we see Prabhupada didn't make an issue out of it. Like that. People are Krishna conscious, they change. They're not Krishna conscious, they don't change. And that's it. It's not that making a thing on doing this. No, it's you make people... You know, it's like we make, you know, keep the Dham clean. It's about, you know, recycling and garbage and this and that. Is it about service to the Dham? Is it about the mood of that this is the holy Dham? Therefore, that's why we're careful about what we do? Right? Individuals may think like that, but the point is that's what has to be presented. Otherwise, just you cleaned it up, means she can take care of herself. I probably mentioned about devotees are jumping up and down about nuclear war and nuclear fallout. Said that Bhumidev is so much more powerful. Isn't it a little dinky bomb? She can clear away all the radioactivity on her own. You know? It's no big deal. Like that. So, but, you know, said, you know, you did this, then you get the result. You know, so you get to enjoy the fallout. But the point is it's not that, you know, unless we do, then it's going to be, and then what's going to happen? No, because then we're thinking we're the doer. And we think the solution is political or economic. Like that. You know what I'm saying? Is that something? Yeah. Yes.
About this pollution, morning of conversation, disciple comes out to Prabhupada and says that the intellectual scientists are very worried about this nuclear waste and all is going to pollute the environment. Prabhupada said that the environment is always polluted with the three modes. So what?
Yeah, it's already polluted. One more pollution, what do you care? Yeah, one says, no, but then, you know, everyone will die. He says, you're going to die today or tomorrow anyway. So whether it's 20 years earlier or later, what does it matter? You know, you remember Krishna, you go back to Godhead. Like that. Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that you get into these things and that becomes the important, the secondary. The secondaries is used, but you always have to keep the focus on the primary. Otherwise, it just becomes, you know, a source of excess bile production. You know, so if you have low bile, it's good. You know, you digest lunch, but if you already have high bile, it's a problem. Yes?
Bhakti is such an individual process, and we hear many instances, including this one, as a group surrender.
Yes.
And then it's taken, you know, the highest is like Munichari Gopis and Shrutichari Gopis. So how is that match? You know, the entire group becomes Gopis, or the, you know, 20,000 kings, they, you know, like everybody, not one of them gains the idea.
But it's association. So if we take association, then we develop these kind of moods. And we avoid the association, then we don't.
Because it's really difficult to imagine, you know, because, you know, in every society, somebody has their own ideas.
Right? Yeah, but that's in, you know, what we're used to. But, you know, you do have things, you know, it's like that story of Matsyavatar Prabhu, the Italian, like that. And so he was somehow or another came in contact with devotees. And, you know, then when he came back, you know, and was convinced about devotional service, when he came back home in the evening, you know, they're that, you know, traditional family, you know, big, you know, 15 people at the dinner table all sitting down. And, you know, I think at this time it was the grandfather probably had already passed on, so the grandmother was kind of like the leading person, you know. And then, you know, they'll, as they're eating, discuss things they did in the day, you know, pleasantly. And, you know, either they discuss themselves or the grandmother will create the conversation. And when it starts going, she'll step back. And then if it drops, she'll step in again. So then in going around what they did, then he explained what happened to him and how he went through and all the different points and how he was convinced. And so he was saying to, you know, the group that he's thinking to seriously take up this devotional service. And, yeah, and the grandmother, having heard all this and that, and everyone sitting there, she said, well, if you're convinced, and by what you said, it sounds very, very reasonable, we'll all become devotees. You know, so it is a possibility, you know. Because you also notice in there, when they define those, they also say individuals. You had one group is the Municharis. You know, then you have the Shrutacharyas. You had the Devatas, from the heavenly planets, and then you had another group is just individuals. Yeah.
So I wonder, what's going to happen to us? I mean, that's the question.
Well, it's that: are you at Naimisharanya with those sages and seeing Lord Ramachandra?
No, not really.
Okay, are you on Lord Brahma's planet with the other personified Vedas and discussing about this? Are you in the heavenly planets as one of the wives of the demigods and you're so impressed and attracted by Krishna?
No.
Okay.
Now we...
Yeah, so that places you there. But at the same time, Prabhupada said that there'll be ISKCON in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
So we're part of that group. We just may not all go at the same time. But we're all part of that group. So that's why we're very specific on staying behind what Prabhupada said. And others that go off with other people and this and that, we're very careful about that. Because then you end up in a different place. Not that you wouldn't have a connection with Prabhupada, but it wouldn't be as prominent as those who are exclusively with Prabhupada. Like that. Not that you can't be inspired by so many devotees, wherever they may be. You know, like we hear stories of Ramanujacharya or Koresh or others, and we're inspired. You know, it's like, I think it's Koresh and then his surrender to Ramanuja, that Ramanuja's facing the deity and he's facing Ramanuja. He said, what are you doing? You know, he says, you know Rangaji, I know you. I don't know Rangaji. So therefore, I see Rangaji through you. So I, you know, like that. Or when they were going to travel, then he was taking care of, he had his shaligrams for worship. So then they all go in a cloth and they're tied up, and that's, you know, how they'll carry them. So then, I think it was Koresh again, he put the shaligrams in there, and then he put Ramanuja's shoes, not the one he's using, some previous shoes, and put those in the basket, in the bag with the shaligrams and tied them up. Ramanuja says, you can't put my shoes in there. He says, shoes don't go with the deities. He says, no, but he says, the shaligrams are your deities, the shoes are mine. So this is a deity bag. You know, so all the deities go in the bag. What can Ramanuja say? It's true, you know, so we get inspired by these. But it's not that, therefore, now we run off with the Shris and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So like that, one can get inspired. So this thing is where then they run off. Now that's a problem, because then you'll be in a slightly different place. It's all connected, but, you know, it won't be standard. Does that make sense? So that's why one has to be careful.
You know, but it's, yeah, does that make sense? So it's not that, no, as a nonsense or this is totally, it's that we're here and then we're inspired. So, you know, so that's why we can read the Acharyas, because we see them in context of what Prabhupada's saying.
So it will be actually mentioned in the future that because of Prabhupada, so many tens of thousands we can deal with.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that he'll be in the history books in the future. That he came and actually changed, saved the world from the, you know, the modern society and all that. It may take a few generations, but, you know, like you said, high court judges will be wearing tilak. I mean, it's all going to happen. It's just a matter, if we have faith in it and move in that direction, we'll take part in it. If not, someone else will do it. But this idea is, no, it's different, we have to be different. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, stay here and be different. Mm-hmm. You know? Like that. Someone else will do it. But it's going to happen.
It's happening.
Sorry?
It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
The Russian here dancing. The Russian devotees here dancing in the workplace.
Yeah. What Prabhupada said? Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
Yeah.
The English, the Russians, and the Prussians, right? Mm-hmm. Like that. So that was even before the Germans, right? Yeah. So like that, yeah.
20,000 kings becoming pure devotees, I mean, not a surprise. Prabhupada Saraswati said that one devotee of Mahaprabhu is enough to liberate an entire universe.
One devotee of Mahaprabhu can liberate an entire universe. Okay, so then 20,000 is not a big deal. Yeah, so the effects of what's there, we don't even know. Like Prabhupada mentioned the Brahmananda. He was saying we're just going, doing kirtan, distributing prasad in Africa. And no one's becoming a devotee. No one's buying books, no one's reading and all that. The Prabhupada says you won't see the effect of what you're doing in this lifetime.
Like that.
Yeah, no, a little bit, but I'm saying that completeness of what he was hoping to. Yeah, but I say the point is that it all comes. It's just time. Because for some people it won't happen this life, it'll be next life. But the point is the volume of Sukriti comes up to the point, and if it comes to the point where they take up, gain faith, if not, then next life, then they'll just bump into that devotee on the road or hear a kirtan, and that was all that was left. You know? What is it? That saying, the straw that took the devotee back? Yeah. So like that.
By following this process of bhakti, many times some devotees, they keep a specific goal in mind, this should be my swarupa, something like that.
This should be my?
Swarupa, or
this should be my swarupa.
Exactly. So,
okay.
So that basically should be the goal, but devotees, they should aspire for a generic goal that's going to Braja.
It's not a matter of a generic, it's a matter of if it's there. Is it an academic thing, or is it a matter of this is their understanding? Because if it's their understanding, there's a good chance they're not talking about it. And if they're talking about it, then there's probably not an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Going from the aphorism, the nyayic aphorism that an empty pot makes more noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the basic point is that we absorb ourselves in devotional service. We don't have to worry about that, if I have a sarup or not, or this or that. We just worry about serving Krishna.
Because in the same point, when I said to them, explained to them, they were like, no, we have to know something more.
They have to know something more, but knowing more, does that make it work? The whole point is what brings one near to pure devotional service. Yes, so therefore it's not about a knowledge of this or that or so many things. The point is that if you have knowledge and there's no attraction, how is that dynamic? You can say, okay, I want to be this particular form, but if you're not attracted by that, then what's the point? Because it's and what does that form do? Right? We're doing it the other way around. What, putting the cart before the horse?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that Mother Jasra means in that, I think it's the 55th verse of Rama Samhita, is that the devotees, because of their particular love for Krishna, that's what manifests the particular form. So they're thinking, no, I want this form, that's what's going to manifest it. No, you have to have that love, that's what will manifest it. So you can have an idea, but to try to take it beyond an idea, then that's not your business. And if you think that by knowing more that will make it happen, then we're saying bhakti is dependent upon jnana. No, it's bhakti is dependent on bhakti. You have devotion to Krishna. You appreciate the Braj Basa saying, I need that form. But the point is do you appreciate the devotees who are doing service in that form? So if you're not doing that, then how is that going to, because it's the mood that's the first thing. Form second thing. And actually, it's only when you absorbed, and it means from here, only when you're absorbed from the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So in other words, for us, it's understanding I'm servant of Krishna, adjusting with that, following the process, and then being exclusively absorbed in Krishna. That will develop the suru. It's not that I start with the suru. That's what happens when you go and hang out too much in Radhakund and places like that. You end up with that kind of stuff. Because that's not how it works. Right? It means, how many girls do you know of that, okay, let's say, you know, you go back in time. How many girls ended up marrying Amitabh Bachchan? Only one. How many had pictures of him on their wall? Unlimited. Right? So, and now in these gossip magazines, do they not know all the different details, what he ate for breakfast and, you know, and all these different things like that? Did that help? No. So it's the same thing. It's not happening. Right? Yeah. So then, you know, you can say that's what's going to make it happen, but you know, let's see. And if they don't, just don't worry about it. The point is in these cases, why worry about it? You say, and if they don't, then you know that. Oh, great, you know, and then go somewhere else. Okay. We offer respects to you, Swayam Bhagavan, who appeared to Vasudeva to show mercy to all people and then destroyed the suffering of even the demons, not looking for their qualification, and showed yourself as attractive to all. Right? So he is attractive. That's the whole thing. Badan Mohan means he's attractive to all. Because you can say, no, but only certain ones, this and that. But that doesn't mean he's not attractive. Why does somebody do something? Because they're attracted to it. But it's dead matter. Why? How will dead matter attract the soul? Right? Because Krishna's entered it. Krishna's there. So everybody's attracted to Krishna. And so the point is that's the aspects of Brahman and Paramatma. So as the Lord, then he also shows. That's why he has his pastimes. And then everybody can take advantage. And then those who do, it doesn't matter, even their demons, then it works out. Because if it wasn't for even demons, then we got a problem. You are the supreme soul by your nature, the shelter of pure prema for all beings. So he's the shelter, it's where it's from, because he is rasa. Right. Moreover, and then we're a shelter for a specific interaction with Krishna, for a specific service to Krishna. Does that make sense? He is rasa. So in that way, he's the shelter of rasa. He's the reservoir of all pleasure, as Prabhupada says. Right? That the individual living entity is the shelter of that particular service to Krishna. Like Mother Jashoda is the shelter of that parental rasa to Krishna. Right? And then we follow in the footsteps of her. Does that make sense? That's what's going on. So, but he is the, how you say, supreme soul, the shelter of pure prema for all beings. right? And then the specific beings then have that small amount of shelter. Does that make sense? That's why he can be called the object, and at other times he'll be called the subject. Depends upon which aspect you're looking at. If you're looking at generic, he's the object, because we, all our attention goes to him, all our affection, all our endeavors go to him as the object. But when you're talking rasa, he's the subject, we're the object. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And because he comprises of all the resources for the rasa object.
Yes, he's all right. It's not that he comprises of all, he is rasa. It's not that you take all these rasas, put it together, and then you get Krishna. No, he is rasa. And then all these, yeah. You are most affectionate to your devotees and promote bhakti. This is shown by becoming a cowherd who walks in the forest, Govindaya. They offer respects repeatedly. So even here, they're talking about that. They're kings, but they're talking about his pastimes in Vrindavan. You know, Bhishma Dev is talking about the pastimes in Vrindavan. You know, Uddhava is talking. So everybody talks about it. So that's the verses 17 to 30. The Lord blesses the kings. Sukadeva Goswami said, "Thus the kings, now freed from bondage, glorified the Supreme Lord. Then, my dear Parikit, that merciful bestower of shelter spoke to them in a gentle voice. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, 'From now on, my dear kings, you will have firm devotion to me, the Supreme Self and the Lord of all that be. I assure you this will come to pass just as you desire.'" Because they having this aspect and this mood because he's the Supreme Lord and they're seeing him in that way. That's why he appeared to them with four arms. Right? And that very reverential mood and all that. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that the reverential doesn't have that element of sweetness to it. It's just always expressed through majesty. Right? So it's that interaction with the Lord is always sweet, but what's the medium? Is the medium sweetness or is the medium's majesty? So that, does that make sense? So in Braj, it doesn't mean that when there's sweetness, there's no majesty. It's just that in sweetness, nobody cares. It's not that it's not engaged, but that's not the reason you're inspired. Does that make sense? Yeah.
When you said that this quality, like desireless, humility, and sense control, it's more easy to develop with a sense of respect.
Yes.
Not sweetness.
No. It's not a matter of respect. Just has to be there because we're respecting their devotion. We're respecting devotional service. We're respecting the devotees. Like that. So that aspect is there. It doesn't mean the majesty aspect is used only in as much as we think we're ourselves as very great and majestic. You know, as the Gita defines, you know, I have killed my enemy and tomorrow, you know, I've done this and I'll get more and more and surrounded by aristocratic relatives and, you know, all that kind of thing. We think we're ourselves very grand. So therefore, that grand element is presented so we know who actually is grand. You know, that's the whole point. But it doesn't mean that ultimately is the idea of how we're going to interact with Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's not that you require majesty, it's that we function on that platform of majesty. He's even bad for the air. He gets stuck. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, "O kings, nourishers and protectors of the earth, by revealing the true nature of my devotee through your statements above, you are nourishing the earth by spreading upon it the nectar of the practice of bhakti," right? Because that's what the king should be doing. See, administration is there so everything runs smoothly so people aren't distracted so that they can practice bhakti. That's actually the purpose of kings. And then the Brahmins, then they teach and teach that bhakti. Right? So like that, then it works. So they teach it, they live it and teach it. The kings live it and see that the environment is there, so it will go on. So that's then how it functions.
one temple manager once remarked that temple management means that all inmates of the temple should come to morning program. That's management.
Yes, means when they are engaged in devotional service, then that's the management. But then also on top of that is, why are they coming? Right? You know, it's like that. It's, everyone will get, you know, 10 gulab jamuns or, you know, something like that. That might work. I wonder if anyone's ever tried that. You know? So the point is they understand the bhakti, so that's why they're there. But if they don't come, even if it's not with that great, intense, spontaneous serve, then they'll be purified just by seeing the deities in the morning. Right? Yeah. I promise that steady bhakti by the means that you desire will appear. The meaning is this. I will instruct, you will understand, practice, and then attain firm remembrance. And from the remembrance appears prema bhakti, diditta bhakti, right? Because remember is that when it's firm remembrance, that means it's steady, it's exclusive. And so then that will bring you to the point of being able to associate with Krishna, always remembering Krishna, because then you're always absorbed in his name, form, quality, and pastimes. From that position, as that continues, then that will come to prema. So it's that constant exclusive remembrance of Krishna. Means when we say exclusive, means it's about Krishna, not about, you know, if I turned off the gas or stuff. You know, it's that, or other things, the political things, or the, it means not that you don't do these as occupation, but they're not what you think about. They're what you do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sorry? Constant member stage of samadhi, but the point is we have those that are like Yudhishthira is in that point, but he still does all his duties. Because much of the time we'll take it that if I'm going to be absorbed in Krishna, I can't be doing these other things. It's a matter of we know these other things, we have the knowledge and skill, but the point of knowing them, be expert, is that we can use it without having to focus on it. You know, and our doing it is in connection with Krishna. So when we focus to see, we get a nice result for Krishna. But it's not that the focus on the work itself is the important thing.
Because the instructions of Krishna to these things were about Varnamore.
About Varnamore.
That's protecting the citizens and everything.
But he's saying nourishers and protectors of the earth by revealing the true nature of my devotee. Through your statements above, you are nourishing the earth by spreading upon it the nectar of the practice of the bhakti. So that's what they're doing. They're using the medium of their position as kings. But it's not about that. So it's not that he's pushing that and then the other, like we saw before. When it was mentioned, then, you know, about instructions, there were 3 points on their particular duties on as Varna and Ashram. But there were 4 connected with bhakti. So it's more on that. So we never want to put these others to the front. Because as soon as you do, people will take that and, yeah. You know, it's like the, what do you call it? Prithu Maharaj milking the earth. You know, it's whatever like that. Then that group steps forward and just grabs that and runs. You know?
Yeah.
Firmness in the practice and goal appears at this moment, and the realization will come gradually. Right? And in ever newness from today. So we see firmness in the practice and goal. So we because of the knowledge, we're fixed in the practice and fixed in the goal. That's there. Then, with time, the realization will come gradually. So that's why Vaidhi is so important, is that we're doing it. We know what the goal is, but we're doing it. So being fixed in that Vaidhi, then it will do. But because we know what the goal is, and that then gradually the realization, and then the other aspects come up. Is that? Yeah. So that's what you're having. It's not that, oh, well, only when I realize I'll do. No, it's you have it doesn't work like that. Manana means you know, you value it, you practice it, and all that. Then it comes to the point where it becomes second nature. Then you realize it. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, you will have firm bhakti to me, son of Devaki, the Antaryami of all, the Lord of all. He considers himself the Lord of the Yadus. They had bhakti, but now it becomes very firm.
right? Because otherwise you have, but it's a matter of becoming fixed, right? So that dridha bhakti, that's what you want. It's firm. It's always there. That's the thing. Oh, kings, by bhakti to me, you can protect the earth, right? So it's bhakti to, by bhakti to me, you can protect the earth. Not by varnashram, you can protect the earth. And then, you know, while you're doing it, you might as well do some bhakti. At nishtha level is that drita bhakti. Means you would say is that would be, the, you could say the beginning of it. Because it's called nishtha because it's fixed. But the point is then as that goes, then you, then as gradually, then you start to realize. You realize the taste, you realize the attachment, you, like this, until you realize prema. O kings, by bhakti to me, you can protect the earth. Sridhar Swami accepts yata instead of tata. Right? Because then they'll be different. Because people copy, and then sometimes you get different things because the words are also explained. They basically mean the same thing. You know, like toror api sahishnuna, toror iva sahishnuna. Basically mean the same, but there's a slight difference in flavor. So sometimes you see as the acharyas will explain both of them. But then they'll point out this one is actually more, you know, would be the most appropriate. So in here, then Sridhar Swami is accepting yata instead of tata. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why we go with what they accept, not what the modern academics. So if the critical edition then accepts tata, we couldn't care less. We accept yata. And if they say no, but the academics, it's kind of like, who cares? You know? When you go back to Godhead and you look around, you're not going to see one of them. <You know? laughs> Or from now, you kings alone will protect the earth because you have developed bhakti to me. Or, please act according to our prayers. Oh, yeah. Bhakti will automatically manifest. Why do I have to supply it? Right, because bhakti is independent. Bhakti attracts the Lord. Of course, it's ultimately dependent, but because of the nature of rasa, it functions on its own. It attracts Krishna. Like that. The blessing has been given by his words. The symptom of bhakti's birth is indicated. Just as you desired, it will be done. They had prayed for instructions on a method of remembrance of the Lord, and so Krishna gave it, and it will work. They follow it, then bhakti follows. Right? Yes. The Lord continued, fortunately, you have come to the proper conclusion, my dear kings, and what you have spoken is true. I can see that human beings lack of self-restraint, which arises from their intoxication with opulence and power, simply leads to madness. Haihaya, Nahusha, Vena, Ravana, Nataka, and many other rulers of demigods, men and demons, fell from their elevated positions because of infatuation with material opulence. So that's what they were saying before. We were infatuated, therefore then we weren't being God conscious. But now that they've lost everything, now they have become God conscious. So that's his point, is that you can be fully Krishna conscious with all this opulence, but if the opulence is distracting, then naturally it goes away, like we see it did for all these other persons. The BBT purport states, as described by Srila Sridhar Swami, because Haihaya stole the desired cow of Lord Parasaram's father, Jamadagni, Parasaram killed him and his impudent sons. That's where Haihaya is. Nahusha became puffed up when he temporarily assumed the post of Indra. Right, that's how he became a snake. When, out of pride, Nahusha ordered some Brahmins to carry him in a palanquin to an illicit meeting with Lord Indra's chaste wife, Sachi, the Brahmins made him fall down from his position and become a snake. King Vena was similarly mad, and when he insulted the Brahmins, they killed him by loud incantations of the syllable hum.
Ravana was a famous ruler of the Rakshasas, but out of lust he kidnapped Mother Sita, and thus her husband, Lord Ramachandra, killed him. Naraka was a ruler of the Daityas who dared to steal Mother Aditi's earrings, and for his offense he was also killed. Thus, throughout history, powerful leaders have fallen from their positions because they became intoxicated with their so-called opulence.
Right? So they get some opulence, they become greedy, they want more, and then they do things that they shouldn't. They go beyond. So whether that's an opulence of knowledge, influence, you know, wealth, beauty, fame, you know, renunciation, any of these, if we become intoxicated by them when we have some, then it does, we may do so many things, you know, thinking that we have so much and we can do whatever we like. And so then we see all these personalities did that. They went beyond their position. You know, Hai is, you know, is it, I think he's the emperor. So then he thinks he can, you know, because of him, everybody's protected, so everybody owes to him. Yeah, everybody but Brahmins. Right? Because the reason he can run it so nice is because of Brahmins. So he actually owes them. Because then he comes, takes the cow, and then it doesn't work out so good for him or any of his descendants. Right? So I guess when you say 21 generations, he's the first one. Then his sons are the second. I like this about
this. Imagine in that story, the Kshatriya, they were very proud and they became very humble.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. So that's just also the Kshatriya nature. So whatever they do, they have to do it, you know, with panache. You know, they can't just do something simply. Just, it's natural. You know, Pariket Maharaj, he's emperor, and then, you know, the curse is there, and then he, you know, just takes off everything, goes in his kope and sits down next to the Jamuna. You know, so like that. That's just how they work. Otherwise, they couldn't. It means they go to the Gurukul. They're coming from the palace, they have everything. They go to the Gurukul, they have nothing. They come back to the palace, they have everything. Then they take Vanaprasa, they go with nothing. You know, so it's just what works for them. You know? And so if they can do it, why can't we? We have much less. You know. We're not accustomed to extreme. Yes. Okay. So then everything should be in moderation.
Whatever we have, whatever we
The Lord continued. Understanding that this material body and everything connected with it has a beginning and an end, worship me by Vedic sacrifices. And with clear intelligence, protect your subjects in accordance with the principles of religion. Right? So having given the basis of the Krishna consciousness and all that, now he'll give down to duties. Right? Right, so the material body, everything connected with it, has a beginning and end. Worship me by Vedic sacrifice. So worship the Lord, knowing everything is temporary, you know, that's connected with the body, and everything's connected with the Lord. That's what makes it special. So in that way, then perform your sacrifice. As you live your lives, begetting generations of progeny, and encountering happiness and distress, birth and death, always keep your minds fixed on me. Be detached from the body and everything connected to it. That doesn't mean you don't work with it. That's the point with the Vedic. If you're working in goodness, you can be detached and work with it. If you're working in passion or ignorance, only if you're attached you can work with it. And if you're detached, then you won't work with something. So it's the mode of goodness. It's not a matter of that's artificial or that's superficial. No, that's where superficialness starts to become less. Right? Because otherwise you say, I'm attached to this, so I'm working with it. So do you actually have affection? No, it's because you're attached.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter, that's the fun you can do with these. That's the point we were making in the morning about the logic. You can take anything and turn it on its head. You know, like that. So always keep your mind fixed on me. That's what will get one through happiness, distress, birth, and death. Be detached from the body and everything connected with it. Remaining self-satisfied, steadfastly keep your vows while concentrating your minds fully on me. In this way, you will ultimately attain me, the supreme absolute truth. Footnote 3. But we will again be devoid of your bhakti because of intoxication with wealth, with attachment to family, and attain an unfortunate destination. And Krishna says, no, you will not. You'll experience the forest of my pastimes, or you will have my pleasant or you will have my pleasant form, right, by remembrance. You will be fixed in the rules for performing my worship, Dridavrata. Absorb your mind in me. You will attain me, the Supreme Brahman, with closeness at all times. Srila Jiva Goswami. So that's the thing. If you see everything in connection with Krishna, you're always with Krishna. It's not a problem. Sukadeva Goswami said, having thus instructed the kings, Lord Krishna, the supreme master of all the worlds, engaged male and female servants in bathing and grooming them, O descendant of Bharata. The Lord then had King Sahadeva honor them with offerings of clothing, jewels, garlands, and sandalwood paste, all suitable for royalty. Footnote 4. Sukadeva Goswami addresses Parikit in joy, maintaining his own hopes concerning the Lord's affection for the lowly. From Srila Jiva Goswami. After they had been properly bathed and adorned, Lord Krishna saw to it that they dined on excellent food. He also presented them with various items befitting the pleasure of kings, such as betel nut, honored by Lord Mukunda and freed from tribulation. The kings shone splendidly, their earrings gleaming, just as the moon and other celestial bodies shine brilliantly in the sky at the end of the rainy season. Right? Because then you had the clouds, and so it's always a little hazy, and then at the end, then the sky is really crystal clear. Like that, and then you get that. Yeah. So like that, they were shining. You know, in other words, they were eclipsed during that time when they were in the... Yeah, in jail. And then now they come out, then they're shining brilliantly. Then the Lord arranged for the kings to be seated on chariots drawn by fine horses and adorned with jewels and gold. And pleasing them with gracious words, he sent them off to their own kingdoms. Footnote 5. Okay, by Srila Jiva Goswami. He put them on the best, fast horses with force. In his presence, with pleasing words, you are mine and I am yours. You should come to the great sacrifice of my dearest devotee, Yudhishthira. He sent them off to their states after reviving them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, stunned by bliss, Yudhishthira could not speak. I see that one there? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, stunned by bliss, Yudhishthira could not act. That's then why you do it in one line. Yeah.
You will say that previously we also spoke about this. Krishna here, he worships, not worships, but he gives them gifts and everything as a king.
Yeah. Right?
On the level of them as kings.
Them as kings and he is the king.
But that's from the level of formality. And from the level of rasa, they see him as the supreme lord.
Yes, and he's interacting with them and having all, because you have to have a medium. Like in Vaikuntha, they all are going to interact with the Lord, but you have to have the palace and the court. So then they all come to the court, and they all have their place where they stand, and services that they do, and all these different things. So you have to have a medium, or the cowherd boys, where do they serve? Right, when he goes out with the cows. Does that make sense? When he comes to the house, Mother Jashoda renders her service. It's not that they're not doing things at other times, but that's when it shines, that's when it's the prominent. So there's always a medium. So in here, he's interacting with them, the Supreme Lord, with the devotees, but through the medium of their kings and he's a king. Right? But at the same time, he's the Supreme Lord. Because if it was just the Supreme Lord, then all this would just be manifest. Why does he have to get King Sahadeva to give him all this stuff? Because he, as the king, means they're the conquering kings. So technically, they're the big guys. And now, and Sahadeva is their subservient kings?
Vassal.
Yeah. So like that. Even though he's powerful, and they're not going to, depending upon how you can deal very nicely so that they are very comfortable. And so he's asking this. So this is, he wouldn't ask if it was a difficulty. It means you have Jarasandha, right? The, so-called, emperor of, this side of India.
You know, he just made it that way. So, and you know, his place and his fort, he hasn't been defeated. Not in his place over at Mathura, yes, but here. That means he's conquered all these kings, taken all their wealth and everything like that. Then, by Uddhava's suggestion that he can only be killed by single combat, then that's obtained. But in doing that, you've lost zero opulence of the kingdom. Maybe a few clubs with Bhima and that they broke in the fighting, but you don't lose anything. So that means the amount of wealth that Sahadev has is immense. So for him to give, to, you know, deck these guys out in some nice clothes and ornaments and give them a chariot with horses, it's not a problem. Like that. So that's why Krishna's doing. And then they'll all come for the Rajasuya, they'll bring things, and then we'll see Yudhishthira, what he has, even what Jarasandha has, pales. I mean, what the Kurus have, pales. Duryodhana makes the point, he's never seen that kind of wealth. You know, and they're technically, you know, yeah. Jealous is there. That's there. But the point is, he just hasn't seen that. You know, a man who's as strong as 10,000 elephants. Did you ever see that Jarasandha and Bhima were getting tired? They'd fight all day. Duryodhana would get tired moving all the wealth. So,
No enthusiasm.
At the time he was enthusiastic because it was family and all that. So he wasn't then. It was afterwards when he went into the palace and then that and saw what's there. Then, you know, he started getting. Yeah. So it was just, you know, it built up. It was a process. Thus liberated from all difficulty by Krishna, the greatest of personalities, the king departed, and as they went, the kings departed, and as they went, they thought only of him, the Lord of the universe, and of his wonderful deeds. So that's the meaning of exclusive, right? Remembrance. So it doesn't mean they can't think of things in their kingdom, but they're thinking of them always in connection with Krishna. They'll never think of them separate. That Krishna is one thing and then my management's another. No, they'll see it always in relation to Krishna.
You know, this Krishna's mercy.
Yes, this is Krishna's mercy. Because you know, he showed them the process and gave them the blessings that they'd be able to follow that process. So immediately they understand and they can be fixed on that point. But with time then they'll realize and their devotional mature to pray. Right? The kings told their ministers and other associates what the personality of Godhead had done. And then they diligently carried out the orders he had imparted to them. And so now everybody, you know, took these orders on their head and then they did them. Verses 31 to 35. Krishna and the Pandavas returned to Hastinapur. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Having arranged for Bhimasen to kill Jarasandha, Lord Keshava accepted worship from King Sahadeva and then departed with the two sons of Pritha. When they arrived at Indraprastha, the victorious heroes blew their conch shells, bringing joy to their well-wishing friends and sorrow to their enemies. Right? Because when they come in, they blow the conches, you know they're victorious. So you don't have to wait and this and what's going to say, because, you know, they'll meet so many people and you want, they've done, then you know, okay, now they can relax and then go through all the formality. The residents of Indraprastha were very pleased to hear that sound. For they understood that now the king of Magadha had been put to rest. King Yudhishthira felt that his desires were now fulfilled. Bhima, Arjuna, and Janardana offered their respects to the king and informed him fully about what they had done. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains. After blowing the conch without much time elapsing, since they arrived quickly, they offered respects to the king. Since the king came to meet them, Krishna offered respects last out of modesty. Out of affection, he sent Arjuna first. Also, he stayed behind because he was very shy to assist in killing Jarasandha, since he was the crest jewel of good conduct. He was the killer of the wicked, Janardana. They informed him of what they had all done, since telling what they themselves did was not proper. And because of the bliss arising from their prema,
they describe the skill of the other. So each one would tell what each other did and this and that, so you get the whole story. Or what they did as a group, you know, they may have, you know, come in as the Brahmins and, you know, then, you know, that. So like that, then they made the points. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur ki.
Yeah,
come back and then tell what everybody else did.